couple of quick things add to earlier announcements. One, Kenny, could you do me a favor after the service today? Could you hold a special prayer meeting in the back for all the Georgia fans this morning? Okay. All right. I think we're going to have a special one, special meeting. Okay. I know. Oh, good to see you this morning. The two serious announcements, although that's easy, that was just too easy. And I did enjoy it, okay, because I am not a Georgia fan, all right? One is Carol and Stephanie Schofield became grandparents for the first time this week. Wesley Daniel Hatala was born earlier this week. And so, see the grandpa gleaming back there. He's just the Shekinah glory all over him back there. So, it's good. Everybody's home and everybody's doing well, according to Grandpa. So, we praise God for that. And the second thing, just a very simple thing, is the cards that are in your bulletin. I want to be praying over your prayer requests, things that are on your heart for the pastors to be joining and interceding for. We want to know about those things. We want to know about praises and thanksgivings. We want to join you in this, though, okay? So you can go ahead and be taking time to do that as God puts things on your heart throughout the service that you might want us to be praying for. Then at the end, we have our baskets up here. We have our baskets by the back door, and you can drop your cards and your envelopes in there during the ministry time, okay? It is good to see you here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are blessed. Blessed beyond what we can count. Blessed beyond what we can fathom. God, I'm asking you today to help us to examine ourselves before you. Lord, are there any hindrances to receiving the intimacy of the Father this morning? Are there any hindrances to receiving the blessings of the Heavenly Father this morning? Father, your body has gathered here to worship you, to hear from you, to bring you glory and honor, to see lives changed. So, Father, I pray that we'll open ourselves for that to happen. Father, I don't think it's a complicated thing. I think it's a submission obedience issue. So, Lord, I pray that we'll submit ourselves to you totally. We bless you and we love you. It's in that powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to continue our series on marriage. Last week, Dusty introduced the series on marriage builders. And this week, we continue with that. This morning, with sermon number 2. And the title of today's message precisely is, How to Affair Proof Your Marriage. Truthfully and honestly, this sermon is one of those that you can either engage in or you can check out of. Really. You can choose to let God speak to you, or you can say, everything's fine in my life, in my marriage. Or you could be honest and say, hey, you know, God might have something for me that will surprise me today. Okay? And all the points that we're going to go through today, and there are 7 of them, really, it doesn't just apply to you and your spouse. It really begins in the application of our relationship with the Heavenly Father. Because the fact of the matter is that we can have an affair on our Heavenly Father. And the word I put to have an affair on our Heavenly Father is simply the word idolatry. Okay? Putting something before Him. In today's world, affair proof in our marriage isn't an easy thing. We live in a very sexually charged culture. We cannot avoid it. We can't avoid it. It's impossible. It's everywhere we look. It's everywhere we go. But the fact of the matter is that God has a purpose and a plan through our marriage. And He wants to be glorified through them. He wants us to honor Him through them. After all, what is one of the descriptions of the relationship between Jesus and His church? Bride to bridegroom, isn't it? So right there, we see in of itself how important it is to God the Father, to Jesus, the bridegroom, coming back for a spotless bride, a bride without blemish and defect. The bridegroom is serious about this. So I encourage you this morning, as we go through this, because there's quite a bit to cover, as we look through this, let God speak to you. Because marriage is a subject that whether or not we are married, have been married, or going to be married, affects all of us. Okay? It's not going away. It's part of who we are, where we live, and what we do every single day. So let's look at point number 1. It says, Don't minimize the problem. What problem is that? That there's a lot of affairs going on in our country today. That a lot of people inside the church, not outside the church, are having affairs. Okay? It's hard to get accurate statistics on this because basically, think about it. Someone walks up to you, have you had an affair? Well, let me think about that for a second. Okay? Or someone calls you on the phone even, hey, I'm doing a survey and I just need to know for the poll purposes if you've ever had an affair on your spouse. You're thinking, they got my name and my number. How do I know this won't get back if I'm honest and you really have had an affair? But basically, some statistics that we use is about 35% of all women have had at least one affair on their husband. But hang on, Daniel. You think that's an old man? All right? Yeah, Daniel's better than having him right here sometimes. Anyway, 50% of all men that are willing to claim it have said they've had at least one affair on their wife. 50%. That really means those statistics are accurate. Now, that was just in general. That wasn't inside the church necessarily. But that's a lot of people that have had affairs. Okay? At least the ones that are willing to say yes. So don't minimize the problem. Don't act like that this is for somebody else. Or that maybe you knew someone who knew someone who knew someone. Okay? This is a problem, a situation that lives, I believe, at any moment, at anybody's doorstep. At anybody's doorstep. So don't minimize the problem this morning. Number two, we have to magnify the consequences. I want you to look at this Proverbs passage. I want you to own it today. Look what Solomon says here. For a prostitute will bring you to poverty, and sleeping with another man's wife may cost your very life. That's serious, isn't it? That's saying that is going to cost very dearly. That it could cost to have an affair, and it does. It costs emotionally. It costs physically. It costs monetarily. It costs. So we need to magnify the consequences because the fact is that there are consequences to it. And I love the way that ends. That it might just cost you your life. That's serious. That gets my attention, by the way. That doesn't just say, hey, someone might get some of my money. I may have to give up a little time, a little effort. That's saying, hey, I want you to know so seriously, you might lose it all. It's a very serious consequence. Sleeping with another man's wife may cost you your very life. And so magnify it. Think about it. Because here's three reasons not to do it. I don't think they're up there. You can put those in there, John. Good. So you have to write these down. It keeps you kind of interactive with me. So here's three reasons, at least three reasons, at least three, not to do it. One, you love God the Father. You really love Him. You really have a real relationship with Him. You understand you have a personal relationship through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus the Christ. You love Him. The Spirit is living within you. You're not going to allow that to happen in your life, to have an affair. That's the worst reason not to do it. The second one is hey, you do love your wife and kids. You really do love them. You love them because you get to love them, not because you have to love them. You allow yourself to engage in their life. That relationship means something to you. And the third one is, you fear the judgment of God. The thought that you could fall into the judgment of Him really is a healthy fear, though, because you're in awe of Him. It's a reverent type of fear. The Bible says you don't do this and get away with it. You may think you do, but you don't. And I guarantee you probably every adult here could probably testify of someone that you've known, either personally or through a various series of relationships, that you've seen the devastation caused in affairs. Because it's happening right in front of us in today's world. So those are three reasons. You love God the Father and Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. You love your family. And you fear the judgment of God. Because it says God will judge those who are moral and those who commit an adultery. You don't get away with it. You don't get away with it. Third one, another way to affair-proof your marriage is, sounds almost silly, doesn't it? Maintain your marriage. Maintain it. What does it say? The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise, the wife to her husband. If you did not read Rick's devotionals for last week, Monday through Friday, you missed God speaking to you. And I don't, can we go back and get those? Can we get those online anywhere, Rick? Can we go back and get those online? We don't have those online anywhere. It's just on your little computer at home, right? All right. If you want last week's devotionals, putting Rick on the spot, let us know, put it on your card, and we'll get them to you because they were excellent. Not that they aren't always excellent, because they are, but last week was hitting the mark, hitting the bullseye. Okay? So if you didn't read them, you couldn't get to them, you couldn't take the time, then you need to tell us to send them to you because they were excellent. Maintaining your marriage. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife and likewise the wife to her husband. Guys, it's like anything in life. If you want something to grow, you have to put the time and the effort into it to maintain it, to see it grow. Not to maintain it so it'll just stay the same, but to see growth in your spouse, in your own life. You have to put the effort and the time to it. It means putting the needs of the other person ahead of your own also. That means dying to self at times and saying, I love this person and I'm willing to put them ahead of me. It's not always convenient. It's not always easy. But it's fulfilling the purposes of God in the long term. Okay? In the long term. Let's look at some practical. The top five needs of most men are this. Now, we could spend forever on all five of these for men and women, but I think some of them are self-explanatory, and then I'm going to give you a homework assignment. The first one, top five, one for a man, is sexual fulfillment. If you need help with that one, see Rick and Regina, okay? All right? All right? All right? I'm not saying they're the experts. I'm just saying see them. Oh, all right. This is working out well with Dusty being gone for me. All right. Recreational companionship. Hey, it's as simple as this. Guys like to have fun. Just keeping it very simple for you. There's more to all these, okay? That's why I'm going to give you a homework assignment. But just keeping it simple. Guys like to have fun. Number three, an attractive spouse. Basically, that means the wife just simply taking care of herself, not letting herself just go. Just, Daniel, I don't know why you found that funny. Oh, sometimes I wonder what's going on, but that's okay. Number four, domestic support. Basically, that is this, the wife building up and not tearing down. Let me tell you something. Little digs dig a deep hole in a short time. Little digs dig a deep hole in a short period of time. Number five, an admiration. Showing respect. Showing respect. Okay? Now, the top five for the ladies. Top five needs of most women are this. Affection. Hey, a good hug or holding the hand can sometimes go a long way. Where's my wife? Is she in here? She's not in here? She's in the back taking care of kids? Because that one right there, I have to tell you, that right there, we will be in March, on March the 30th, we'll be married 20 years. And I can tell you right now, are you clapping because I know the date and the year? cheer up. It's still months away. I might still mess it up, okay? But don't worry, because Jerry and Sam Martin have the same anniversary as us, so I've got a backup to be reminded. But that one right there, I admit, see, that's not a need for me, and so therefore, I'm not always mindful that my wife needs just a simple good hug or a good arm around the shoulder or just a holding hands. It means the world to her to walk and hold hands together. It means the world to her. And I admit, I probably on a scale of 1 to 10, a lot of times I'm closer to 1 than I am to 10, okay, truthfully, all right? Affection, number 2, conversation. Conversation, okay? Some of you are laughing. Wonder why you're laughing. Conversation, real conversation, real conversation. Being a good listener, number 3. Honesty and openness. Guys, she has to be able to trust you. She has to know who you are deep down inside. She needs to know who you really are. Number four, financial support. She needs security. She needs security. She needs to feel safe. And that's part of that. And number five, family commitment. Family commitment. One of the things that's very important to me personally, I think for a lot of reasons. One, I only have one child, so I only get one shot to either mess it up or be successful, so to speak, whatever that really means in the long term. But family commitment. But one of the things when I first started running, biking, and swimming was, as I told myself, God, never let those things be more important than you or Kathy and Cameron. Because God, if those things ever become more important than you or Kathy and Cameron, you have my permission to do whatever you need to do to keep me from doing it. Okay? That's how serious that is. And I want you to know something. I think some of you probably have outstanding marriages. And then you know people that have outstanding marriages. But I believe in my heart of hearts that one little thing, that family commitment, is one of those things that is so easy to take for granted. So easy to take for granted. So those are the top five needs of most women. And I already read the top five. So what's your homework assignment? How can you dig into that a little bit more? Well, those were stolen from something. A gentleman by the name of William F. Harley wrote a book called His Needs and Her Needs. How many of you have read that before? I got a few. Got a few that read it. I think you would recommend it. I would highly recommend it for couples, whether you are married, you're going to be married, and maybe if you've already been married and you're longer married. I think understanding the needs. Because what happens to most of us is this. You marry somebody, and then you go about trying to meet those needs in that person, but the way you want them met, not the way they need them met. A lot of guys will go to their wives, and they will try to meet their five needs the way they want their five needs met, instead of understanding and realizing what the needs of the ladies are and meeting those needs. Okay? I can't tell you the number of times I've heard guys say, I just wish my wife would go do something that I think is fun. Okay? Well, I can pretty much tell you something. Kathy is not going to go bungee jumping with me. All right? And she's in here now, so she came back in. All right? I confess that affection was not my best one, hun. I say it before God and the group. The affection was not my best one, okay? But I did get our anniversary date correct. I got witnesses. And that so often we try to fulfill the needs of another person that have no intention of being met. And so there it becomes very aggravating. It becomes frustrating. And vice versa. So understand that we have to maintain the marriage. There's no similarity between those lists. And by the way, guys, if you can't remember that list, okay, and you don't go get the book, I'm going to give you, because I know, hey, I'm a guy, keep it simple, right? John Eldridge says it this way. Your wife needs to know all the time she's worth fighting for. You can write that one down. If she doesn't know that she's worth fighting for, then I promise you, you're struggling to meet all the needs she has. She needs to know all the time she's worth it, that she's worth fighting for, however that might work itself out. So maintaining the marriage, it's important. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife and likewise the wife to her husband. The solution to this, you've got to get serious. I have to be serious. This just doesn't happen on its own. It doesn't just get married and then everything turns out, you ride off into the sunset, okay? You know it's not that easy. And maybe you're a little tired today, a little weary. Maybe things haven't been that well. Get back in the game. Get serious. Become a participant in your marriage, not a bystander. Number four, fair proof in your marriage is you got to manage your mind. This isn't just for the guys. This is for all of us. Temptation comes from the lure of our own evil desires. These evil desires lead to evil actions, and evil actions lead to death. You see a sequence there? Desires, actions, actions to death. Do you see how it can snowball? Let me tell you something. One night stands didn't just happen all of a sudden. A one night stand didn't become a one night stand just like that. There was a buildup. So often we don't get to discuss the buildup part. We just hear about the one-night stand. But temptation set in somewhere along the way. And then someone began to dwell upon it. And then the next thing, an action came. So it wasn't just a standalone event. People don't just fall into immorality, guys. It doesn't just happen that way. There's a process, and here's the process. You have to accept sinful thoughts, or it's accepting sinful thoughts in your mind. What does that mean? Well, don't you have to be careful with what you watch and with what you read and with where you what you listen to? I accidentally discovered this. Wasn't the best thing to discover, okay? I don't read any of the romantic kind of books. I don't know authors or any of that kind of stuff to give you an example, but I don't read the romantic kind of books that you read. Well, one day I was walking through Books A Million, and I was just walking down through there, and Kathy was actually looking at some books on the other side of the aisle, and I'm just going down through there, and I know some people that read these kind of books, and I'm getting ready to give you an example. I said, well, I've never really read that. Let me just yank one off the shelf. Well, I should have been listening to the Spirit, because I pulled one off, and just like this, I don't know the name of it, okay? It had a picture of a nice-looking guy like myself on the front, so I thought it was probably safe. All right. I don't know why y'all laugh at that. And so I literally read one paragraph, and I said, are you kidding me? Who wants to write that garbage? And what kind of happens to inside a person reading that garbage? And just as I'm standing here before you, nothing holy. Nothing that would please God. So I decided that section of books would be off limits from now on. No more pulling one of those suckers off the shelf, because that's just garbage. It described a relationship between a man and an encounter between a man and a woman very vividly. So you have to be on alert all the time. That was stupid of me for to do. That really was. Confessed it. Said, God, I don't want anything to do. Just take it all away from me. I don't want to remember anything I read. And I believe he did that. So you have to accept sinful thoughts in the mind. You have to be careful. Number two, or B, emotional, not physical involvement. See, you could be cheated on your spouse without ever touching anybody. Jesus, what did he say? If you think it, you have done it. Emotional, non-physical involvement. Be careful. I'm telling you, that's a tough one sometimes. You've got to be careful. C, physical involvement. You may start with just a slight touch of a hand or one of those comforting hugs when someone needs comforting of the opposite sex. Or it may even be some kind of innocent hello kiss. But you got to be careful. Got to be careful. And D, rationalizing the affair. Man, guys, I can't tell you. It sickens me, my stomach sometimes, to think about the people that I know that are supposedly followers of Christ, that have rationalized affairs. Prayed about it. It was God's will. Really? I couldn't find that in the Word. But they would not listen. It strengthened our marriage. I'll have to leave that up to God, because I don't buy that one. God will always forgive. Yeah, I agree. He'll forgive, but you still have to pay the consequences. There is no rationalization to an affair, because it's not of God, period. So managing your mind, it's important. Fifth one, maintain your relationships, or maintain proper relationships. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. He was not talking to a group of special people. He was talking to the body of Christ, us. So when he says that to the church in Ephesus, he's saying, this is the standard, and God's serious about it. There must not even be a hint. Don't even want to smell it. Don't even want to get close to the edge of the cliff. Maintain proper relationships. Did you know most affairs occur between close personal friends? Our co-workers. That's where most of them happen. So what are you going to do about that? One thing is these are practical hints, okay? They're not going to be up there. So you got to write these down. Don't listen to a member of the opposite sex tell you his or her marital problems. Because you know what happens? You sit there and you listen and you listen and you listen and you throw out something like, well, I think I could do a better job than that person's doing. And see, remember that thoughts lead to desires that lead to actions? See, you can't let that happen. So you got to maintain a proper relationship. Don't listen to someone of the opposite sex tell you his or her marital problems. Now another one. Women, don't go fishing for compliments. Okay? Just don't do it. Okay? Don't do it. And men, we have to be very careful what we say, not because of being sued in today's world, but because it could open a door that could lead to sin. In fact, I would encourage you to ask yourself something. When someone is looking at you, and maybe they even offer a compliment, stop to ask yourself, was I fishing? Men, when you're speaking to ladies, what is your motivation? What's your heart saying to you? The Spirit lives in you. Listen to Him. Another one, be aware that sometimes there can be electricity between you and a member of the opposite sex. Sometimes there can be a spark. Didn't mean for it to be. Be aware of it. Be aware of it. Be sensitive to it. And then do something about it. Get out of there. And then, last two is this. Simple as this. Avoid a prolonged stare. You know what's looking too long. You know what staring too long is. Okay? So don't play the games with, well, this is too long and this is not too long. You know. I know. Okay? And this last one is this. An improper touch. You know what an improper touch is. You know that a lingering touch on a shoulder or arm, if it's improper or not, you know that. I don't believe you're stupid any more than I am. I can't lay it on, I didn't know. I know. I know. I have the Holy Spirit living in me, talking to me if I'm listening. So that's part of maintaining proper relationships. Got to watch out for those behaviors, and you have to be serious about them. Serious. And then, number six, a fair proof in your marriage. Minimize the opportunity. If you think you're standing strong, what's the warning? Be careful, for you too may fall into the same sin. Minimize the opportunity. Don't place yourself in situations where you know you're going to be tempted. Recognize the circumstances that gets you into trouble. Be led by the Spirit of God. Avoid situations that could play upon your own weaknesses. Avoid those. Because it says it very plainly. If you think you're standing strong, be careful, because you may fall into the same sin. Heard a true story a few years ago about a group of believers. In Germany, they were having a large pornographic convention, okay, in Germany. And a group of believers decided that they had prayed about it, and they decided that they were going to go to this convention to witness to people. Well, unfortunately, guys, it turned out poorly, because there was less than 20 in the group, and the end of the story is, the last time I read it was, is everyone who went now struggles with that addiction. It's sad. Listening to God. Listening to the Father. Minimize the opportunity. Be careful. Be careful. Some of you might be thinking today, I've been listening. I've been hearing. But you may also be thinking, I'm good to go. I'm good to go. It says in God's holy word that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Be alert. Be on guard. Be active. Be proactive. This is serious. Very serious. It would be awesome today that in this generation, the believers that are alive, in just a few years, if we could turn those divorce rates around to where those inside the body of Christ did not have near the same divorce rates as those outside the body of Christ. Wouldn't it be awesome to say one day, hey, we are the salt and the light. Hey, we are different. We are living as holy people. We are living as followers of Christ, intimate with the Heavenly Father. Be serious about this. And last thing is this, number seven, make a commitment to God's standards. Drink water from your own cistern and fresh water from your own well. Think about that for a second. Drink water from your own cistern and fresh water from your own well. You know another way I'd say that? Grow where God's planted you. Grow the relationship with your spouse. Okay? Help others with seeing this in their own life too. There might be somebody outside our congregation today that there's some things that you've been thinking about as we've been going through here. Ask God for the wisdom and discernment how to help others with this too. Because drinking water from our own cistern, oh, it sounds easy. Sounds easy. But are we in a battle every day? Yes, we are. And so it's saying drink water from your own cistern and fresh water from your own well. Grow where God has planted you. Because here is the biggest key, guys. God has given you the Holy Spirit to live inside through the power of Jesus Christ to be intimate with the Heavenly Father so you can keep your eyes and your ears on Him. Let the power of God come into your relationship. Be serious about saying God the Father is the whole purpose for our relationship to glorify and honor Him. Be serious about that today. And as part of those procedures, let me give you some practical things. First of all, if you messed it up, ask God to forgive you. His grace is sufficient. Ask God to forgive you. Second of all, if this is something you're struggling with right at this moment, maybe the physical part, maybe the emotional part, maybe it's the mind part, ask God to sever it. Ask the power of God to sever those tentacles, those things that are grabbing at you. Ask Him to do that. You also need to avoid contact with if it's with a particular person or person. You just need to cut them from the team. It's a little saying I have for me personally. If you're not building me up, then I look to cut you from the team. Okay? And the last one there is seek forgiveness and reconcile with your mate. Seek forgiveness and reconcile with your mate. So the question is today is how has God spoken to you? Not if, but how has God spoken to you? How has He revealed Himself? What are you going to take from this to put into your own life, into your own marriage, so God can use you to bring Him the glory and the honor that He desires to have? Because like I told you before, the way I term call having an affair on my Heavenly Father is idolatry. And He takes that very, very serious. So if I'm putting another person in front of my wife, I would say that's putting it in front of God too. And it's serious. And I want you to know that we have to own this whole series, not just today's message, not just last week, but the next two. We have to own it. We are the city on a hill, aren't we? And I want you to know something. This is how serious it takes. I tell you, there's a group of people sitting right back there. They're wondering. They don't say it out loud, but the examples they have in this world are just pathetic. Just pathetic. God is counting on us to point them to Him, what it's like to have a godly family, marriage, relationship. It is important. So what's God speaking to you? In just a moment, you'll have a chance to respond. You have your cards to fill out. You can put your prayer requests, praises, thanksgivings on there. But also, our life group leaders. And Rick, Regina, and Kathy and I will be up here. If you want some personal prayer with somebody, this is your time to respond to what God's doing. Our altar will also be open. Maybe you need to just come and spend some time before Him about anything. About anything. But understand something. God can sometimes use things that we think don't apply to us to hit the mark when we listen. When we're willing to listen. So I'm going to pray for us. Our life group leaders will be around. If you need prayer, you can put your cards in there. Rick and Gina and Kathy and I will be up here to pray, and the altar will be open. It's your time to respond to the Spirit. Father, You sure do love us a lot. Father, to be honest with you, there's times it amazes me when I stop to think about how much You love me and love us. Father, I'm praying today that we won't try some tug of war, some little pseudo argument with you. What are you saying? What are you doing? Help us to hear from you. It is the only thing, hearing from the Father. And God, I would pray that you would help us to be obedient with it. We bless you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.